This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 9th of April, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff you can use 6 minutes after the hour. 43 degrees in sunny Rochester, New York.
Nice.
Thank you. And we're going to start with, it's my turn to rant. There was a great news item this week, and I have to talk about this.
Which one?
Well, Microsoft, a security official.
Of course,
official,
who else?
There was a InfoSec World Conference this week, the Information Security World Conference, InfoSec World. And a Microsoft security official, Mike Danseglio, program manager in the Security Solutions Group at Microsoft, said businesses should consider investing in an automated process to wipe hard drives and reinstall operating systems as a practical way to recover from malware infestation or viruses. Yes, you heard me correctly. Microsoft is suggesting that if you get a virus, the best way to clear it out is to wipe your machine and start from scratch. Now,
it gets you off the phone when you're calling tech support.
Exactly. We've always said this. If you have to reinstall the operating system, they win.
Yeah.
But this makes me crazy. He cited a recent incident where a branch of the United States government, which he refused to name, struggled with viruses, malware infestations, as they're now calling them, on more than 2,000 machines. It was so severe, trying to recover was meaningless. He conceded that the cleanup process is just way too hard. They have self-healing programs that actually detect if you're trying to get rid of them, and they come right back again. And the big problem is this now in 2006, the attackers want to pay the rent. They don't want to write a worm that destroys your hardware. They want to assimilate your computers and use them to make money. Now, at Microsoft, and admittedly, they're a pretty big and pretty popular target, but they're fielding 2,000 attacks an hour. And this is the thing that really kind of makes me a little bit crazier than I already am.
Resistance is futile.
Well, it just it makes me a little crazy that we're looking at a company that created the operating system, and they're now telling us that it's too complex. They can't figure out how to fix things. They've created an operating system, which is actually a very good operating system. That's not the point. The point is this. They've hooked into it so deeply, the web browser and the email program and all of that stuff, that they just they've opened it up, they've opened a vector to all of this bad stuff. And now they're saying, you know, now what, people put in rootkits and all this other stuff, and we've allowed that to happen, but we throw up our hands. Too bad. Yeah, get over it. So I don't know. It just seems to me that now is the time to look at the Mac, and now is the time to look at Linux. If Microsoft themselves are saying there's nothing they can do to fix your machine if you have a problem and you have to wipe it out and restart again, it's time to look at the next level. I'm sorry. That just really bothers me.
Sometimes it is the quickest thing to do.
It certainly is the quickest.
Like you said, it gets people off the phone. But the thing of it is before they have folks doing that, if that is the only way they think they can do it, first, please ask the folks if they have backed up their important information. Yeah.
And by then, it's often too late because their backup will be infested.
Yeah, right. But even if you got a backup, you can, you know, if you got it off the disk or whatever, once you get the clean machine and get it, you can always hook up, say, an external hard drive or whatever and have it run a virus scan just on that stuff.
Scan it while it's restoring.
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't believe they said that. All right, we're going to go to the phones. And our first caller is Tom, who Rob and somehow seems to think is calling from China. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from China.
China, yeah. Where?
Right outside of Beijing.
No kidding. Nice. How cool is that?
That's a heck of a phone call.
Oh, I know.
Rob, we knew you were right. We just wanted to see the look on your face when I said you weren't.
Do you live there?
No, I don't. I'm here on business.
Okay.
I was listening to your station, the guys before you, on the net, and they broke it, so I can't hear you anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
I want to copy my VCR tapes mm-hmm. to DVDs.
Yep.
And I have a discussion with my colleague how the best to do that. I have a video capture card in my computer, and I have a lot of problems trying to do that. And he tells me it's a lot of times it's to do with the software that you got on. It's to do with virus protection and all of those nice things that you put on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
His suggestion is that I probably ought to get VCR combo DVD recorder where I eliminate all that, and I can digitize my tapes right onto a DVD and then take it into my computer and then do all the good stuff.
Do you have a lot of tapes that actually do?
Oh, probably about 100.
Yeah, that certainly will work. That absolutely will work.
It's a lot trickier to edit a DVD. You have to convert it back into a computer-readable format. Right.
Well, one way or the other, here's the deal. You need a fairly fast machine.
Yes.
You need a lot of memory.
Good
and
graphics.
You need a high-end graphics card, which it sounds like you have.
And a huge hard drive with plenty of empty space.
Right. Now, and in general, unless you've got a... How fast is your machine?
It's 2.6 gig.
That should do it.
Are you talking about memory?
Well, that's next.
512.
That's part of your problem.
Yeah, you want to get it up to at least a gig.
And two would be better.
Yeah.
You've certainly got enough speed in the processor, but you really ought to have at least a gig, and two would be better.
And 256 meg memory.
And the video card.
And the video card itself,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, if I do all that and add that into my computer, I'm probably talking a couple $100 at least.
Yeah.
And I can probably buy for another $50, $250 or so, maybe $300.
A standalone unit.
But now again, if you want to take it into the computer and digitize it, you're still going to need that much memory.
Oh, is that right?
So,
The DVD format is not editable on the computer. You have to convert it back into a DV, a digital video format, for the computer to edit.
Yeah.
So if you want to edit the videos, then it has to get digitized into the computer. If you're just going to convert your tapes to DVD to play, you know, by themselves and don't worry about editing, then a standalone unit is probably cheaper.
Just fine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Push record and come back in 2 hours.
Right, but if you want to do editing, you've got to have the memory, you've got to have the disk space. So you might as well do it that way.
And some of the programs, you know, the Microsoft Movie, what is it, Movie Magic?
Yeah.
Movie Maker that you can get for Windows, that's kind of a low-end, you know, consumer, works sometimes, doesn't work
other times.
Well,
that's why I asked how many he's got. Yeah. I mean, you know, even if he does it a few over time, just take it to a professional. You know,
yeah,
right. If it's only a few, but if you've got 100 or whatever
it is. Yeah, some folks can say 100, but if all the tape isn't completely full... You might have maybe an hour on one tape, another hour on the others. You know, is all 6 hours actually full?
Right. But if you want it as a hobby, that's the way to do it.
Yep.
Tom, thanks for calling. Head on over to our website and join our Frapper log. Put your name in at China, and it'll be cool. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites at 18 minutes after the hour. Oh, we have a very important piece of information to talk about. First, let me apologize to Rob.
He seemed to be upset
when I thought that Tom was from China, and I made fun of that. I knew he would be from China. Well, you don't make that kind of mistake.
You might misspell
Lima, but you wouldn't screw up China.
I never misspell Lima.
That is wild, though. I mean, you talked about long-distance calls.
There could be a China, New York somewhere. There's an Egypt, and that's what I had. I took a double take.
I'm like, the China?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. No, the China.
How cool is that?
Yeah, no, it is cool.
I mean, to reach out that far and have somebody call in with a computer question from China.
Right.
Unbelievable.
But we have a very important announcement.
Yes. You know, we've been doing these for a while, and we've been promising to bring it back. And, of course, the great folks at Frontier said, let's go with it. And what am I talking about? Well, you want to put it on your calendar, April 26th. The three of us are going to be doing another seminar at the Frontier Learning Center at 3441 West Henriette Road. That's April 26th from 6:30 to 9:30. And to register, please leave your name, telephone number on the Frontier Seminar voice line at 234-0326. So you better call soon because seating is limited. So if you want to get in, and the topic is going to be safe surfing.
Yep. Now, definitely pay attention to what Dave just said. The date is important and the fact that you have to pre-register. It's a free seminar, but we only have so many seats. So first come, first served doesn't work. It's first registered, first served is what works.
So again, you want to call 234-0326 and say that you want to sign up for this seminar of safe surfing at the Frontier Learning Center on April 26th.
6:30 to 9:30.
Yep.
Excellent. We're going to be there. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be way, way too much fun.
I'm going to make sort of a fake web link with that phone number on it so people can find it.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Good.
Link it to the Frontier's website, put all the information, the address, and all that other stuff.
Yep. All right. That's a good thing to talk about. Let's go back to the phones. We have Mike from Gates on the line. Welcome, Mike. What's your question? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, last week I was listening to you guys, and you were saying something about if you're using Internet Explorer, get the heck off of it.
Yeah. Got it.
What was the reasoning for that again?
Well, Microsoft has Internet Explorer is a lovely web browser. The problem with it is that it's got hooks deep into the operating system, and if somebody takes it over, they will own your machine. Whereas, and it's hard to fix, and it's hard to block out.
And someone can take control of your computer just by you going to a website.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas things like Firefox or Opera, they're less deeply hooked into the operating system, and they have some better controls for preventing stuff like that.
And the biggest thing that you wind up giving up?
What?
Pop-ups.
Well, I don't do a lot of web browsing.
Well, if you were to do a lot of web browsing, I guarantee you would be getting so annoyed at the pop-ups that can, right. you know, just clicking on one particular going to one web page can open up five, six pop-ups.
Right.
And it gets annoying that you got to go around clicking them closed.
See, I have Firefox, too, but the annoying thing about Firefox is on some of my programs, you have to shut off your security in order to get into them.
Well, now those places where you have to shut off your security, that can maybe you don't want to go to those places. I mean, what sort of places are you going to? Is it games or is it?
Yeah. I play a lot of online poker and stuff, and you know, so it's probably they probably considers it a gambling site.
Well, that's not the reason that you have to shut off your security. It's a lot of times it's taking you to a secure website because you're handling money. But because online poker is getting to be so popular and so common, a lot of the Trojan horses and spyware are targeting those sites.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
you go to a poker site, it installs spyware on your computer to watch your money information.
Yeah.
Right.
Other things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I better get off of Internet Explorer.
There you go.
I guess if you can, you should. Absolutely. Our next caller.
Another Mike.
That was Mike from Gates.
No, we got another one.
Okay, Mike from Gates. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I have a question about Java Control Panel and Mozilla.
Yeah.
In order for Java to work properly, I need the Mozilla box checked properly, right?
I don't know what you mean by that.
In the Java Control Panel Advanced, there's a thing that says applet tag support.
Right.
I've got Internet Explorer checked. and Mozilla and Netscape isn't checked. When I go to check it and press apply,
mm-hmm.
I get an error message saying, please check that Mozilla or Netscape is properly installed on the system and or that you have sufficient permission to change
All right. Right. Two things. First, are you running Mozilla or are you running Firefox?
I thought Firefox is part of...
Firefox is from Mozilla.
Yeah.
Well, I run Firefox.
Okay. And you want to be able to run Java in Firefox?
I do, but sometimes it's real slow and stuff.
Well, that has a lot more to do with the site you're coming from than it does from Firefox. I mean, Firefox doesn't change... How the speed of how something runs.
Right.
If your Java is running slowly, then it's one of two things. Either you have too many things open on your machine or not enough memory, which is really two ways of saying the same thing. Or the site it's coming from is slow. There's no
like these game sites that have 100,000 right. people, you know, playing poker now at the same time.
Well, when I tried to click on the Mozilla checkbox, it tells me though that
Because you don't have Mozilla installed, you have Firefox installed. Mozilla is a completely separate program.
All right, so how do I need Firefox? Oh, there's no Firefox box here to check.
Right, but Firefox has its own set of extensions. So if you go into Firefox and click Tools.
Hold on a second. No, it says I'm running Mozilla Firefox. That's the heading up above.
Mozilla is the company. They make several programs. Okay. The Mozilla browser is one, and the Firefox browser is another one.
Right. What operating system are you running?
Well, you're going to laugh at me.
There's your other problem.
I mean?
Yeah, there's your other problem. Yep. A lot of the new versions of stuff, including the newest Java and the newest Firefox, don't work well with ME.
To an operating system that was discontinued before even Windows 98 came around.
Right. So you, the real problem here is that they don't work well with ME because ME was abandoned so long ago, they never made it work right with ME. I don't know that you're ever going to get that to work quite correctly. If you can find an older version of actual Mozilla, that might work. But in terms of getting all of the newest features of Firefox running under ME, that's harder.
That might be mission impossible. What size machine do you actually have?
Is it a Pentium 3? How fast is it? How much memory?
I think so.
You got a Pentium 3, you can get it up to, say, 384 megs of memory. I'd consider doing an upgrade to Windows XP.
Okay, so Mozilla, I'm not really running Mozilla then, right?
Yeah, you are. Running, you could be.
You're running Mozilla Firefox. You're not running the Mozilla Internet Suite.
So I don't really need to check the Mozilla box and the applet tech support?
Well, correct.
Right. You're already running those sites, right? They're just running slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You're running... an old operating system that isn't well supported, and you don't have a lot of memory, and those two things together end up meaning slow.
The price of poker keeps going up.
And the problem is going to get worse as soon as Vista comes out. Support for XP is going to be dropped.
Right. So Microsoft keeps saying that.
Yeah, XP itself is already 4 years old.
Yeah.
Right, right. Price of poker keeps going up, and it's time to look at a Mac, and it's time to look at Linux. We're going to take another break. It's 27 after the hour, and you know what that means. It means that we're going to have Rob Jason in with some news and some weather. I can tell you right now it's 42 degrees, but he'll give you a better forecast in just a couple of minutes. This me saying the weather somehow makes Rob really, really happy, and I don't quite know why. Apparently, he's a weather geek, and it's good to know. And I'm just thrilled and delighted for him. But we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We got some folks on the line. We've got Dave Enright. We've got Steve Ray. We've got Rob Linton. We've got Dave in either Lima or Lima. We'll find out when we get back. We've got Wayne from Rochester. You've got me, Nick Francesco. You've got all of us on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For the...
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a minute at 31 minutes after the hour, 44 degrees. And but before we do that, a new botnet has come out. A botnet is an attack system that is created by viruses getting into a computer and running what are called bots in the background. A bunch of them get together and create what's called a botnet to attack other machines. This botnet is made up entirely of computers powered by Linux and Mac OS X computers. There's a senior information specialist at the University of Pennsylvania named Dave Taylor. He became obsessed with tracking a rather unusual botnet that consisted of these computers running Mac OS X and Linux. And he worked for about a week straight and found them out. It was created using a known security hole, not in Linux or in OS X, but in something that runs on top of the operating system. In this case, PHP, a development programming language built specifically for websites. Now, here's the deal. I talk all the time about how Mac people are going to have to start paying attention to things like viruses. And then I get a lot of hate mail. Macs never get viruses. Well, A, that's not true in and of itself. But more importantly, you don't just run OS X on your machine. You run third-party programs as well. They are vulnerable. If you don't protect yourself, you're doing both yourself and the internet community at whole a disservice. And so I'm just trying to make you aware that I know your operating system is perfect, but all the other things you run on it are not. And if I have to lie and say that to get you to run an antivirus program, I'm happy to do it.
What's interesting is that PHP itself isn't running unless you enable certain things at Unix, you turn on your web server. And the people that do that should know better.
You would think they would, yes. And in this particular case, it was PHP, but there are lots of other things that people run as third-party programs that have vectors into them that can be broken into. So whether you think your Mac is perfect or not, if you're running any third-party programs, you really should be running an antivirus program to protect yourself and everybody else.
One other thing I got to say, and this is more or less off the same vein, a side branch. But I've been getting a number of emails. All right, let me explain a couple of things here. And what I'm talking about is Stinger. If I have gotten one, I've gotten at least 6 emails. Okay, here's the story, folks. Stinger is a utility. It does not get updated every week.
And it says that right on Stinger's page,
all right,
by the way.
And the only thing...
Oh, yeah,
I'm getting folks saying it's taking too long to run. All right, one modification we should probably make on the Dance the Tango page is if your antivirus software is up to date.
Meaning the definitions date is within a day or two of today.
If they're within less than 7 days old, your antivirus is up to date. You do not have to download nor run Stinger. Stinger is just a utility of 45 files or viruses that it knows of out of 1,884,000 viruses. So if your antivirus software is updated, like I said, within a week, then you only have to run your antivirus software and then do the adware and spybot. You don't have to run Stinger because it's only checking for the 45. We tell you to run Stinger if your antivirus software is maybe 2-3 weeks old. Because one of those viruses, the 45, could be in there.
I don't see that it's a big deal to run it. I mean, it takes it takes time, but
it takes a couple hours.
Yeah,
well,
but
so
Nick, on some systems, I mean, nowadays you're talking systems that could have 200 gig hard drives in them, and these folks, I'm seeing it daily.
Several hundred thousand files on your computer.
I mean, literally. I had somebody
let it run overnight, and that's fine.
It took them 4 hours just to run Stinger on an antivirus program that was already up to date, and then they turned around and ran this the antivirus software, which was another four hours.
Yeah, the thing that Stinger specifically does is look for viruses that kill your antivirus.
Right.
So if your antivirus is working and up to date and updated, it's probably, I hate to say, safe to say, you don't have one of these specific viruses.
It's at least you can take the gamble.
Yeah.
If your antivirus is
I would say we should maybe put a disclaimer on there near the Stinger. Only run this if your antivirus software is more than a week old.
Yeah, and then we have to explain in every single antivirus program how to tell.
No, just the DAT files. If the definition files are more than a week old, but run Stinger.
We still have to explain to everybody. All right, well, how we'll find that offline. Yeah. That's not a big deal.
But no, I've been getting, like I say, I've gotten at least six on the Stinger, and then folks complaining because it's taking so long to run it. You know, like anything else. We get the complaint. I try to answer them all, you know, and give folks. But
it's not a tech support line, so, you know, stop sending emails.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, that's the other thing. Well, the other thing they've been doing is also sending them to Lori, who, you know where they go to them?
She put her name out there. What do you expect?
No. They're asking her for technical support.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
Guess who gets the technical support?
We all love Lori, right. We all love Lori, but she's not really a computer person. Well, listen, let's get back to the phones.
She's only married to one.
Right. Well, our next caller is Dave from either Lima, New York or Lima, Peru. Which is it, Dave?
This is Lima, New York.
Oh, that's too bad.
Cool.
I mean, that's okay with you. You know, that's okay. What's your question?
Well, I have a laptop, an HP laptop, and the running XP. And about a year ago, it just had all these error messages. It wouldn't run any longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the error message. I've looked it up on the internet. It says it has to do with the NTFS. Mm-hmm. Files and all this. So I reformatted everything, and it still consistently has the same error. I can't use it. So what I did, I had another old laptop with a 4 gig drive in it that had ME on it,
mm-hmm.
and I stuck it in there, and it boots.
Yeah.
Now it won't run any programs, but it boots and at least lets me get into the system. But that's about it. I'm trying to figure out, is this thing fixable or should I just throw it away?
Well, it sounds like the original hard drive you had in there, that if you formatted it and, you know, we're still having issues,
yeah.
10-1 odds, yeah, that's a bad hard drive.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I took that other hard drive and stuck it in another laptop.
Right, and the reason it's having issues is because, just what you said, it was in another machine and you put it into this one. So 10-1 odds, a lot of the drivers are still set up in the ME system for the old machine and not the new.
Yeah, you can't easily swap hard drives
like
from computer
to computer.
Like
video and sound.
But now, hold on. The other hard drive, the small hard drive, boots up in the new machine.
Yes.
And the new hard drive boots up in the old machine?
Yes.
So the real problem seems to be that hard drive in that machine.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because the 20 gig hard drive that used to be in the machine when the machine went bad
right.
is working fine in another machine I have.
Now, do you get, does it actually, we have to take a break. Stay on the line. Okay. We'll come back to you after the commercials, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Dave from Lima, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've got Dave from Lima, New York on the line, and he's got a... Let me recap here, Dave.
All right.
You've got a 4-gig hard drive from an old machine that works great in your new laptop, and a 20-gig hard drive from your new machine that works great in the old laptop, but the new drive doesn't work in the new machine.
Yeah, and
now when
and,
you say
and
does
the 20-gig doesn't either? I'm it's and this 4-gig, the old hard drive, it's got ME on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I'm more concerned about the mechanics at the moment.
Right.
The new hard drive, the 20-gig hard drive, works in the old laptop that had ME in it, right? I mean, it boots.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the laptop that used to be in the faulty computer, and I took it out, and it's working fine in another computer.
Right. So the real question is, when you say it doesn't, the 20-gig doesn't work in the laptop, the one that's supposed to be in the laptop,
right.
the HP, when you say it doesn't work, does it not boot at all, or does it boot in blue screen, or does it get to a certain point and freeze? What happens?
It boots in blue screens. The first time I reformatted it and I put on a XP with a different computer, and then I stuck it back in here, and it booted, and I had XP for about 30 seconds, and then blue screen.
Well, that won't
that
work.
That you would expect to happen.
You have to install the operating system on the computer you want to run it on because of the different drivers from different hardware resources.
The minute you take the XP drive and put it into another machine, all bets are off, because when the original XP was set up on that other machine, it records the hard drive, the video card, motherboard, everything.
Right. So that I wouldn't expect to work.
Okay.
So installing XP fresh on this new laptop with the 20 gig new hard drive in it, that also doesn't work?
Yeah, it won't work at all. It won't. It gets about halfway through the installation, then it says it can't install this driver, that driver, and then it blue screens.
You might have a memory issue, whether it's on the motherboard or within, you know, how much memory's in this laptop?
256, the standard with the board.
Let me suggest you start with this. Go to memtest86.com, memtest86.com.
Mm-hmm.
Download and burn a CD, boot with the CD, and run memtest overnight on your machine.
Okay.
That's the place to start.
Yeah. Another thing, too, if this is a new HP laptop, call HP for warranty repair.
Well, if it's still under warranty, absolutely.
Yeah. I had it for about a year and 3 months when it did.
Then it's not new.
Is it still under warranty?
No.
Because sometimes they'll do, a 2 or 3 year warranty on laptops.
Is it their consumer line or their professional line?
Okay.
Yeah, the consumer lines are 1 year, the professional lines are 3 years.
At any rate, start there and let us know what happens, because that may solve the whole problem. If you've got a memory error, then it's time to replace the memory on that machine and you're done. I would start there because it sounds like that's really the place to go. Our next caller is Bruce from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Quick question. Your screener already answered my first two. I installed Thunderbird and Firefox.
Yep.
And my wife's computer is networked to my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Do I still have to download those same two programs to her computer also?
Well, if you want them to run on her machine, yes.
Right. Okay.
Well, you have to install them on her machine, but if you've downloaded the program, you can transfer that file you downloaded over to her machine and install from there.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have to go back to the internet and download.
Right, right. As long as you saved that .exe file that you downloaded, you can burn that to a CD and keep it if you want to.
Yep. Okay. I may not have done that.
Yeah.
You're on your own now, but but you don't have to, no.
Okay.
You have to install on each machine, but you can install from the same download.
She's going to love you for it because, like I say, you won't get the pop-ups, and the junk control is far better under Thunderbird.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I may have saved that the execution file. I may have saved that in the trash bin, so maybe it's...
That's where I save everything.
Where do all my files go? The ones I was saving in the trash.
Yeah, right. try not to actually pretend the trash is where you save things.
I've had customers who create a folder on the desktop that's almost trash. Stored in there. Yeah,
that's a good spot.
That's a good idea.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Our next caller, Debbie from Webster, New York. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Hi, I called a couple weeks ago about my print preview problem.
Yes.
I didn't print preview, and I tried what you told me. I went to the website. They didn't have any updates. I uninstalled the software, reinstalled it. Still, the print preview is checked, but it doesn't do it every time I go to print or ever when I go to print, unless I manually do it. And now I did a custom printing on one thing, and now it changes to custom every time. I can't get draft anymore unless I manually change it each time I print.
If you go into the printer control panel and change the preferences there, should override.
I did. I changed it to draft, and I've got print preview checked. And then when I go to print something, the print preview does not come up, and it goes to custom.
What OS are you running?
XP.
Do you know which
version? And this is the HP printer driver, right?
No, this is a Canon.
Oh, Canon.
Mm.
Do you know which version of XP it is?
Home or professional?
Well,
home.
I was thinking, is it Prime, Service Pack 1, or Service Pack 2?
Service Pack 2.
Yeah, we know it's Service Pack 2. Broke a lot of printers.
Yeah.
How old a printer is this?
I think I've had it about 3-4 months.
Right? Debbie, one question, though. Was it working right along?
Yes.
And was it working, and then after a while, you upgraded to Service Pack 2 or Service 2?
No, I upgraded to Service Pack 2 a long time ago.
Okay, so Service Pack 2 has been on there, and the printer was working fine.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a USB printer?
Yes.
One thing I could suggest is, because Windows is very dumb, is unplug the printer
okay
from that particular USB port. make a note where it's plugged into.
Mm-hmm.
Uninstall the printer, shut the machine down.
Okay.
And then boot it back up, reinstall the software.
Okay.
And hook it up to a different USB port. Because usually there's three or four, or four or six.
Yeah, I have one in the back and two in the front. So.
There's only one in the back?
I think so. I'm not sure. I can't get to it right now.
slide it around front.
Okay.
You know, I mean, yeah, the cord will look ugly, but, you know, keep it low on the floor.
Yep.
And just try a different USB port. Believe it or not, Windows, you know, because it'll look for it a different, it might reinstall the drivers differently and everything else. So I'd give that a shot first. And see, but give us a call back next week and let us know how that goes for you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
More longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones. At 52 minutes after the hour, and of course, 46 degrees.
And eight minutes before the hour.
I think you want to cancel that.
Right, 8 minutes before the hour. We'll go back. We'll talk a little bit more about Macs on a PC later. I know that that's the only thing some of you actually care about.
Other way around.
PC on a Mac. San Francisco and Earthlink. San Francisco, Earthlink, and Google have gotten together. San Francisco has a request for quotation out to provide free citywide Wi-Fi. And they seem to have picked a plan by Google and internet service provider Earthlink. It looks like they're going to offer two wireless internet services, a free ad-supported service from Google, and Earthlink's for-fee service that will be faster than the Google service. A lot of cities around the United States are mulling citywide Wi-Fi plans. San Francisco is pushing the wireless in hopes of generating economic activity, bridging the digital divide between those who can and can't afford traditional broadband, and improving city government and public safety communications in the bargain. This is a pretty interesting deal right now. The RFP, request for proposal, went out, and a lot of people answered it, and the ones they seemed to pick were Google and Earthlink. The thing I think that really pushed it for them was that Google and Earthlink have said they're footing the bill for the cost of the network, and they'll build it, and then they'll just and they'll make their money in whatever way they make the money.
A lot of communities that have tried this, the local internet providers have sued the government to stop doing it, claiming government monopoly.
Right. So I don't know how far along that's going to go, but the people in San Francisco are pretty thrilled at the thought, at least, of free wireless everywhere, which is a nice idea, I guess. Our next caller, Rob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rob. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Quick question on the Mac. You're talking about antivirus software, so do you have recommendations?
The two main commercial ones are Norton Antivirus from Symantec and McAfee Virex from Network Associates. Although it appears that Virex is only available to enterprise customers, they stopped selling their personal user version. And then there's a free version called ClamX AV based on the open source Clam AV project for Unix.
Which I'm running on my Linux box right now, and it's wonderful.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, bye.
It's important to note that there are multiple vendors selling antivirus and giving away antivirus for the Mac. If that's true, it's very possible that there is some use to those antivirus programs, and you might want to think about actually using them at some point.
Well, that's been one of the conspiracy allegations for all these years, is that the antivirus companies are writing the viruses to keep themselves in business.
Or the UNIS repair shop people, sit there.
We install time bombs.
Yeah, we're conspiring with them to do this type of stuff. But, you know, I could devote my time to a lot better things.
Well, that goes back to Nick's rant earlier about the spyware. How many customers have you gotten that come back in a week and say, my machine doesn't work still, and you should fix it for free? Well, you plugged it back into the internet, and you infected yourself again.
Or it comes back after a few days, and it's reinfested all over again. Well, I had one.
Yeah, it was
just 3 weeks, and I said, "So have you run the antivirus spy back?" Every customer that leaves the shop gets one of those step by step procedures.
Yep.
Now, here we updated everything, cleaned everything out. They bring it back in 3 weeks later. It's loaded again. Well, did you run it? Well, I meant to.
Meant to, yeah.
Hello, meant to isn't going to cut it.
Right. Well, I let my kid install LimeWire so he could steal music.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's the big thing. Well, you cleaned it, but now it's dirty again. Well, you know, it's like your car. If you're going to actually drive it after you get it cleaned, it's probably going to get dirty again.
And you know what really gets me, though? Is they'll sit there and say, but I've got to have it. I run my business on it. Wait a minute. Either it's a business computer or you're going to let your kid play on it. There can't be two things. If it's vital that you do your business, then don't let your kids play on that same computer.
We've talked for years about make sure you have a backup of your data. We've been starting to recommend to our customers, have a backup computer.
Yeah.
I mean, if your computer dies, you got another computer to use.
Well, anybody that's going to run a business off a computer, and then you're going to turn around and let your kids also, don't put LimeWire on it constantly. I've got one client, I've removed it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, they just do it behind my back while I'm out on sales calls. And I come back and...
So put a password on it and don't give it to them.
Yeah.
I love that commercial a few years ago. I think it was for IBM. You know, the corporate suits are all running around yelling and screaming, our network's down. You know, we got viruses. We've been breached.
Right,
What's going on?
Right.
And the boss is demanding somebody's head is going to roll for this. And then a little kid walks out of the, Daddy, come see the program I put on your computer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Computers are cheap enough nowadays. If you're actually running your business, is it worth $500, $600 to get a second computer for the kids to keep your machine clean?
Well, that's what I told
her. If you're running a business, I would say the answer there is yes.
Well, that's why I told her. You know, she goes, you know, this is getting pretty ridiculous. I says, well, I would think you'd be getting tired of it. Make them pay for it. She goes, you know what? Instead of them buying all their damn songs, maybe I will. Or, you know, get them another system so they can do it. If they mess it up, then fine. They can pay to get theirs fixed.
Although we had a computer stored in our shop for a year because she was making the kid pay for it.
Well, yes. That becomes a yes.
Mm.
Well, I have my daughter has her own machine. It's not the best box on earth, but she's got her very own machine. And it's running Linux because I'm sick and tired of fixing Windows problems. But she can do everything she needs to do, 90% of what she wants to do. And the other stuff I don't really care about.
Yeah, hello.
And it keeps her off my machine. Now, I obviously work for a living at RIT in the College of Business, but I have a second job of Ask Nick. Oh, he missed it. And
third,
I don't want her on my machine.
Yeah, third job of Soundbites.
Third job of Soundbites and fourth job of this and that.
Fourth job at the
users
group.
Right. And the newspaper and everything else. But the point is that I got her own machine, so she's not messing up mine. Listen, we're going to take a break. Rob Jason is in here with the news. He's going to give us the news and the views and the stuff you can use. It's 59 minutes after the hour. And we'll be back on the other side of that. We're going to talk about the poll, and we've got a couple of people on the line. I don't know who they are at the moment, but they're on the line, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Okay, it's Dan and it's Rick. And so if you're on the line, please hold on, and particularly Rick, if you're on a cell phone, pull over to the side of the road, for God's sake. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Rob and those two folks and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180. WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about what happens at our website, soundbites.org.
Wait a minute. He's standing there like the cat that swallowed the canary. What'd you do?
No, I'm just...
He's just a happy
I never know
guy.
With you guys if there's going to be any little zingers zinging all over the place.
Not us.
Well, like I said, you look like you just swallowed the canary and didn't want to
He's a tired guy. He's been here all morning.
I have been here all morning.
He's been here all morning. And
usually,
last night,
usually I'll roll out of bed right about 10:45, and I'll come in here, make the show by 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we've noticed that.
Yes, we noticed.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But Les, and of course, you know, he's a young, single guy, so he was out partying until, what, 4 a.m.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so then,
the house is looking good, though.
I've been very sick. Oh, you saw those?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been very sick the past couple of weeks, and also I've done a sleep.
You've been very sick for a year.
Thank you.
Physically.
Hey, how long have you been on this radio station?
3 years, 4 years?
Four years, yeah.
Coming up five.
Coming up on five. I've been with you that long.
Yes, you have.
There is something severely wrong with me.
Yes, well, we knew that right from the beginning.
Your mother warned us about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did, over and over. We ignored her. Look, our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was, do you trust Microsoft? Our friend Bob gave us that poll. 352 of you voted, making it number 75 in the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. Shockingly, the number one answer was no, but I'm trapped into using their software. No, but I like their software. Number three, 43 votes, the Linux, followed by yes, implicitly, and the Macintosh trailing with a mere 26 votes. More Linux people than Macintosh people. Over 10% of our people are apparently Linux people. Cool. This week's poll was, of course, about XP on the Macintosh. The choices are never, Macs must remain pure. That takes the place of the Macintosh vote. I figured that would be kind of redundant and give people a headache. Followed by, I just absolutely can't wait. Who cares? And does it run Linux? So far, we've got 65 votes on the site. And, 75 votes on the site. Number one choice, of course, is who cares? 63% of you. Followed by a dozen who just absolutely can't wait, followed equal to a dozen who want to know if it runs Linux, and never, Macs must remain pure, only four votes. When you're done voting on the poll, because I know that merely clicking a button isn't enough for you people, you can click on the, there's a little yellow box underneath it, click on Give Us Your Opinion. That will take you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Ding.
Thank you. Where you can put in your opinion. That's asknick.com. Thank you. Where you can put in your opinion. And so far, four of you only have put in your opinions on this. The choice, the question this week was XP on Mac, great idea or brilliant concept? What?
No, I was going to say one of the ironies that we've been talking about is Apple waited until the third-party hackers figured out a way to do it themselves. Now, did Apple release this bootcamp software because of that, or were they intending to do it all along?
Right. Good question. Very good question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that bootcamp is the program I like, though. I like Parallels better. There's a program called Parallels at parallels.com. Yep. And what that is rather with bootcamp, you have to pick either or. You're either running as a Mac or you're running as a Windows box.
And typical dual boot has been used forever.
Right. Dual boot. Except I've used dual boot on a bunch of different machines, and what works nicer is something like Parallels, which is actually a virtualization system. You boot into OS X, and then you can run as virtual systems inside OS X, Linux and Windows. Now, does it require a lot more memory? Yeah, absolutely. Does it require a fast machine? Yeah, absolutely. But what it means is you're running all three environments simultaneously, which means that particularly for a developer, you can, and whether you're developing software that runs on machines or you're just developing a website, you can now run all three environments and check to see that what you're looking at works for you pretty easily and pretty nicely. So that's available at parallels.com. And you don't have to reboot. So that's out there. That's out there in beta right now. It's free in beta. It'll cost $50 to register once it actually comes out. But you know what? According to all the people who've been testing them so far, CNET, for example, did a test with a MacBook Pro and an iMac running Intel's Core Duo processor. It seems to be similar, if not actually equal, performance to PCs designed to run Windows. So basically what they're saying is, except for differences in the amount of memory or you know, whatever, but if you have two equivalent machines, They'll run Windows equivalently, whether it's a Mac or a PC. And, of course, if it's a Mac, you can then boot it into OS X and run that as well.
The danger that people have been worried about, and we'll probably see later on, will Macintosh developers stop making Mac-specific software and say, we'll just run Windows on your Mac?
Right. Right.
And hopefully no. But there's most of the articles talk about the gamers, because there's a big call from the Mac gamers that the PC games come out sooner for PC in most cases. And then a lot of the games never get ported to the Mac. So I know a lot of dedicated gamers that have one of each. They buy a PC just to play games.
Now, which is kind of an overkill. Contrast that with our friends at Ambrosia Software.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who are mostly Mac gamers. Mac,
yep. So they interviewed several of the game companies online recently, MacSoft and Destineer. The biggest issue has been porting and licensing issues. A very popular PC game might sell 100,000 copies. You know, a very popular Mac game might sell 50,000 copies.
Right.
So the cost of development against the potential market has been a big issue for years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. 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 We'll see what happens. It's an interesting thing. Even if Apple ends up selling a whole lot of hardware for people to run Windows on, they still win. So we'll see what happens. It should be
That's the one thing too, that you still have to buy a full retail legal copy of Windows.
Right, right,
to run on your Mac. So there's $200 for home and $100 or $300 for pro.
Right, right. Assuming that you do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Our next caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm running XP, and now when I go and get XP up. Folder system 32 always shows up before I get to the home page. What's the problem? It started recently. The system 32 file shows up open all the time before anything.
What OS are you running?
XP.
I'm not sure.
XP, right?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. My system is XP.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting problem. You have one of two things going on. You either have a virus that's attempting to do things in that folder.
Or some Trojan.
Or a Trojan or one of those that's trying to do stuff. In which case, of course, you should be running the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
I do that.
Okay. Then the other thing that's possible is that Windows just decided to open it. I hate to say that, but that happens a lot in Windows. Uh-huh. It just picks a folder to be open and then remembers that.
Yeah.
The way to fix that, maybe, and it is only a maybe, close the window, click somewhere on your background, not on any icons, and hit the F5 key, which refreshes the desktop just like it refreshes a web page.
Okay.
And what that theoretically will do is tell Windows, this is the way I want my system to look at boot up. Remember this.
Okay.
I'm not going to promise that works.
Yeah.
I'm simply not going to promise it because
If he's got a Trojan
Windows
or something else in there,
right,
that could be doing
well,
this
but
for
also,
him.
Yeah. Sometimes Windows just decides this is what it wants
to
do.
Oh, yeah. It's dumb. It forgets. But even though you tell it to do it, it'll sit there and ignore you.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Anyway, try that, Dan. Let us know what happens. Our next caller is Rick on a cell phone, pulled over to the side of the road, of course. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Yes, I'm pulled over to the side of the road. Thank
See,
you.
See, that's what I like to hear.
Yes. I just got a question is, how long should a normal installation of going to Mozilla and Thunderbird and then going to Linux, how long should it take me to get this installed?
If you know what you're doing, a couple hours.
Yeah.
If it's your first time doing it, a week.
A week.
Well, it depends on a couple of things. If you're going to run Linux, right, it depends on what version you're going to run.
What's a good user?
And how
beginner
fast,
one.
Right, and how fast your machine is. I tend to tell people to try Ubuntu at ubuntu.com, U-B-U-N-T-U. It's you can download the install disk. What's nice about it is you can also download something separately called a live CD. Reboot into it, and you're running Ubuntu without actually touching your hard drive ever. Now, it's going to run slow because you're loading things off of a CD instead of off the hard drive.
But you can get experience.
But you can get experience in it. And when you're ready to install it, you can do that. Now, that installation can take up to an hour, depending on how slow your machine is, how much memory it has, yada, yada, yada. But when you're done, you have the operating system, Firefox, Thunderbird, Evolution, OpenOffice, thousands of programs already all installed on your machine ready to run.
Sounds good.
So it can take some time. And again, a lot of people practice Linux. You know, they get an older machine to play on. Well, naturally, that's going to be slower, so it can take an hour or so to install. But it would take the same amount of time to install Windows and then Office and then, you know, whatever else you're going to install. So you're not losing time as such.
And by using it.
And it's a learning experience.
Yeah,
it's
and by taking an older machine or, like you say, running out the CD, you're not going to mess anything up. You can get the experience until you get comfortable and do it at your own rate without, you know, disturbing the rest of your system and the work that you got to get done.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right. Our next caller, Jason from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Jason. What's your question?
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, guys. Love your show. I just got a quick question. I bought a laptop online. It's an HP. It's about 3 years old. It's got Windows XP Professional in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't run the live updates online because Internet or Microsoft's telling me it's a bootleg copy or whatnot. And if I go out and buy the ridiculous priced updated version, I might lose my drivers for my CD, DVD, ROM.
No, you shouldn't. Because
HP has some special drivers for those things.
Okay.
You can you can buy the original HP Restore discs directly from HP. We've had to do it for three customers this week who can't find their discs. It's usually around $40-$50.
Okay.
But sometimes the Restore disc is only the driver. Sometimes it also includes Windows. So you still may end up buying Windows itself. But the HP Restore disc will give you all the HP-specific drivers.
If you call HP with both your model number and your serial number and ask for the Restore disc, make sure you've got the right model and serial number.
I think I got those, yes.
Well, they should be right on the bottom of your machine.
Yeah.
And then ask them if it's just the drivers or also includes Windows. They may have two versions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you have the Certificate of Authenticity sticker on the bottom of your computer with the Windows serial number on it, then that will work.
You can give
with the
Restore disks. Right.
If you don't have that, then the computer might have been stolen.
But Microsoft is saying that what obviously the guy who sold it to him did is took that. He either needs to call Microsoft and have them and explain to them that
reactivate
it because he bought the used laptop, yada, yada, yada.
But the guy might have put a hacked copy on there. I've run into that, too.
Right. So you're probably better off getting a new version. It can't hurt to try the serial number, but it's likely not going to work.
One thing you might be able to do, Steve, or Jason, rather, is you go to the website and you put the serial number in for that laptop or the using number, and it'll take you to the drivers and download page.
Okay.
You can download all those drivers pertinent to your machine and for XP.
Okay.
Then you burn those off to CD.
Yeah.
And you can buy yourself, the full-blown version of Windows XP, do an install over the install in case it messes things up.
Uh-huh.
But this way you'll still have the drivers in case you got to reinstall them on a separate CD.
Because it sounds like someone sold you an illegal copy of Windows.
Yeah, because you're going to wind up paying double. You're going to pay for the CD, for the drivers, which you can do down off the internet by yourself right now, and then they're going to nail you for Windows XP. So it can save you part of the cost.
Right. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Max, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites. 43 degrees in Rochester, 46 degrees in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, I was going to... Thank you. You think it's safe?
It's never safe. Around Rob?
I was going to take down my snow fence.
You think so? I don't know. This is Rochester.
That's what I keep waiting for. Because I'm afraid the minute I take it down, because it's been known. I mean, they showed it on the news. It could be beautiful for a week. And then all of a sudden you get 17, 18 inches of snow in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well with the winter we've had, that's the way it's going to happen.
Last week when it was 70 one day and everyone's out in their shorts and whatnot, and then they had snow the next day.
All right, well, I'm preparing everybody in Rochester. Later on this afternoon, I'm going to take down the snow fence. So get ready for a snowstorm.
It's your fault. There's no question.
You can blame it on me.
In the meantime, while he's still able to get out of his house, we'll talk to Stephen from Kendall, New York. Welcome, Stephen. What's your question?
Hi, I went on your site to Security Tango, and I went to download the files, and I did the first step out of the steps that you gave me, and then we downloaded Stinger, and it's whenever we try and run it, it says that it's not a valid Win32 application, and I was wondering if you knew what to do to get.
What OS are you trying to run it on?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
What operating system?
I'm pretty sure it's Windows XP.
It sounds like the download didn't finish or didn't work for some reason.
Are you on broadband or dial-up?
Dial-up right now. I'm pretty sure I just lost the connection.
Yeah, I'm suspecting that's what happened.
Yeah.
One thing you can do is if you have a friend who's got both broadband and a burner, have that person download all the software for you.
To the CD.
Burn it to CD, and then you can install it from the CD.
Okay.
That's for if you're on dial-up, that's probably your best bet.
You know what?
So it will take them a whole lot less time to do all of that than for you to download the stuff.
That's a service I should offer.
The Security Tango CD?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think I might. This way, you know, if somebody calls.
Did I not mention that to you for like 6 months ago?
Hey.
Yeah, I know. All right. But
in the past 6 months, I've been pretty busy. Heart attack. And
here we go. Now it's a sympathy thing again. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, I'm going to play for you. If I can do it, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a service you guys should offer. But also, Stephen, you definitely can get a friend to do that for you, or you can get these guys to do it for you, I suppose.
Yeah, offer. Pay, you know, a couple bucks. And
a couple bucks just for your time and effort.
And the CD, and I can burn it all to a CD.
Right. The problem is you want to date those CDs and explain to people that they go out of date way fast.
Well, no, I won't burn it until they call.
But then it's still sitting out there somewhere, so you should have a stamp on it that says valid until.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't know when they get updated, so this is valid today only.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, but you can definitely do that, and that will get you a long ways away through the Tango.
All right. I'm a little illiterate when it comes to downloading or burning it onto a CD from an internet site. Could you explain to me how that works?
Well, once you get the files all downloaded into a folder, then what you do is you take a burning program, whether it's Nero or whatever you use to burn stuff
Roxio
to your
Creator.
Roxio, Easy Creator, or whatever you got. And that software, you select, start up the program, and you can select those files in a separate folder and burn them all to a CD.
Right. But, Stephen, you won't be doing the burning. Your friend will on his or her machine, right? Because they've downloaded it. They burn it to CD for you. You take the CD home, and wherever in the Tango it says download this and install it, you just copy it off the CD and install it.
Yeah, if you really need them and that, and don't have somebody with the, capabilities to do it, email me at dnwright@nwrightpc.com, and we can set up a time. I can go ahead and burn them to CD, say for $4.
Yeah.
And you can swing by, pick it up,
CD and a little bit of labor.
Anybody wants to email me, I can burn the CD for you, and you can swing by and pick it up.
Oh, for Pete's sake, give Dave $5. It's worth it. At any rate, give that a shot.
Then Sam doesn't have to make change.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. Make it $5. There you go. All right, our next caller, Jeff from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I just purchased one of the JVC handycams with the 30-gig hard drive built into them.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you guys have heard any problems with those.
Not yet. They're brand new.
Yeah, it's so new.
I saw a really cool interview on from David Pogue in the New York Times. Sort of a joke interview of what you can do with these new camcorders. You know, like watching grass grow and watching paint dry.
Yeah, right.
But it's really neat. The big issue with the traditional DV tape camcorders is to bring it into your computer. It's real time. So you shoot 2 hours of video. It takes 2 hours to bring it into your computer.
Right.
Hard drive-based camcorders, it's already a digital file on your hard drive. You plug it into your computer, it's a hard drive, you just drag it over, and it's a whole lot faster.
Right, right, right.
The question that we're worried about, and we'll only find out with time, is how rugged are these hard drives?
Right.
Because hard drives are spinning mechanical drives, and if you are, you know, jostling your camera or drop your camera, you know, what's going to happen to the hard drive?
Right, which is why I said not yet.
Not yet, yep.
Yeah.
But they are nifty-sounding devices, and I was actually drooling over them myself the other day. They're pretty neat-looking toy. We'll just have to wait and see what the verdict is. Let us know.
Well, if they're using any of the technology, like, say, any of the professional TV stations, because they've gone to hard drives for quite a while.
Right.
I mean, those hard drives that are in the cameras for the professionals.
Well,
I saw them take
a $100,000 camera.
Yeah, but the hard drives.
Oh, yeah, that.
The hard drives they take out of them, and this was a number of years ago, I literally saw somebody take one out and slide it down a hallway. Slammed up against the wall. They picked it up, put it back in. It works. I mean, the shock resistance.
Yeah.
In those,
and,
which,
and those are special and different.
You remember the trade show demos Bernoulli used to have?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have the drive bouncing up and down on an arm, just slamming it while they're playing a video off of it.
Yep, yep.
Bernoulli drives cannot crash.
Right, right. Our next caller, Ann from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ann. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Simple question. Black monitor, total. I can't get anything.
Is it an orange light or a green light?
I have no light. It's black.
Well, the power light on the monitor itself.
Oh, green.
So the monitor is on. So
yeah, it's on, and I can hear, you know, like the tower. I can hear it working, but nothing.
Your connections from the back of the monitor to the computer are tight?
None of the pins are bent?
Is this a flat panel or a regular TV
cable?
Yeah.
9 years old.
Just for, anything is possible, but just for grins and giggles, have you tried turning up the brightness?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the phosphors age and wear out? You have to crank the
brightness. Do you have another
farther.
Monitor in the house?
No.
Yeah, the test is to try that monitor on another computer and try another monitor on that computer to see if
the
problem...
Do they ever just go?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Sure. All the time.
They
particularly
do.
9 years old, it's very possible it's just... Finally
it's
gone.
Just like a TV. You know, you turn it on one day, a light bulb, it pops and there it goes.
Okay. But it could be the computer. So that's why, you know, trying a different computer, trying a different monitor will help you isolate which
has the problem. Okay, just one more question. I'm getting a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
How do I save everything? Do I just save everything to a disk?
It depends on who you get the computer from. If you were to buy a computer from Dave or Steve, they would be happy to move the data from your old machine to your new machine for you.
Yeah, it's there's a way you can save all the files and settings and everything else. We'd take your old box.
And it likely wouldn't fit on a disk. It would be hundreds of floppies or dozens of CDs.
Well, with the new system, with XP, they give you a utility that you can pack everything up into a neat little folder, and then we copy that file over to the new machine and then restore
it. If the old computer is still working, you can use the Windows file settings and transfer wizard.
Yep,
right.
Okay, where are you located?
70 Empire Boulevard.
In Arundicoit?
Yeah, we're just a half a mile up past Dan's Crafts. On the same side of the road, you'll see us.
Right across
the sign.
From St. Ambrose.
Yep.
And we have a store at 439 Monroe Avenue downtown and 7716 Victor Menden Road in Victor.
There you go. So you got Enright PC and the Jesse Group or Mac Ave.
Mac Ave, yep.
And, I got stuck between which one I was going to say first, and therefore I didn't say
either. Well, he's got a number of locations.
Mac Ave is our Macintosh brand store. Jesse Group is our PC brand.
So in this case, you want the Jesse Group.
Yeah.
Okie doke. All right, Ann. Our next caller, Chuck from East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chuck. What's your question?
Well, gentlemen, to begin with, this might help for you to answer the question if you can. I'm blind as a bat. Okay, so...
no problem. I'm an expert in that.
...in a laptop.
Yep.
And my daughter is going to set me up with the wireless internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she tried loading or tried to see if the... narrator or screen reader actually would read the iTunes file. Excuse me, the information in the file.
Okay.
It will not. Apparently, the only thing it will read is anything by Microsoft.
All right. What program are you using as your reader?
Actually, I don't know because she didn't tell me what the name of the program was.
All right. There is one program that the Commission for the Blind uses and that I set up on a lot of folks' machines, and
which
it's called JAWS. JAWS. J-A-W-S.
Yeah, well, yeah.
JAWS will read anything and everything on a PC.
Does that cancel out, would that cancel out the screen reader? Or can you just put screen reader in hibernation?
Yes.
Well, you'd use that in place of whatever screen reader you've already got.
Yeah, you take the screen reader off because JAWS was designed specifically for the visually impaired, and it reads to you. So, in other words, if you're tabbing around on the screen to writing a letter or doing a spreadsheet or on the internet through Internet Explorer, anything on the screen, it will read it to you. It has been time-tested right from Windows 3.1. JAWS has been around and going with every version. It's a little expensive. Since you are legally blind, I would highly suggest calling the Commission for the Blind and talking to them and seeing about getting a copy of JAWS, and they can even offer you maybe some training through their training center to get you familiarized with the product. But I think it opened up a whole new world for you.
Well, I have the Type and Speak, and I had a JAWS 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how far back that goes, I have no idea.
Yeah, JAWS would definitely be the program you'd want to use, especially with XP. I've got a number of clients that have been very happy with it, and I think you would be too, sir, as opposed to any of these other screen readers that are sort of hit and miss.
And as you're finding out, it's not working with the program you want it to.
I mean, statewide, that's the only product that that I know the Commission for the Blind is using for screen readers that will work with multiple programs across the board. All right, good luck. If you have any questions, give me a call at my shop.
Okay, our next caller is Ron from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
How you doing today, fellas?
Peachy, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. I don't want you to yell at me, but I actually like and use Microsoft Outlook, and I've got a problem. When I attempt to send a new email, create one, I'll press the 2 button on the top left corner of the email page.
Yeah.
And it opens my address book, and I would like it to open my contacts folder, and I cannot figure out how to tell it to do that.
That should be one and the same.
No, for some reason, everything that's in my contacts is not necessarily in my address book.
Hmm.
So you apparently have 2 separate address books.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Merge them together?
Yeah.
Somehow?
So I'd say merge them.
Yeah. Both Nick and I are frantically typing.
Unfortunately, right now I'm running a Linux machine, so I can't open up Outlook and see what it does.
And I've got a machine here that doesn't even...
I know it allows you to have multiple address books. The reason is that Outlook is designed for corporate environments using an Exchange server, where you have your local personal address book and you have your corporate address book.
Right.
So there should be a way to merge between those. Oh, and I found one that says coordinating Outlook contacts with the personal address book.
Oh, really?
So a way to merge together your personal personal address book and your corporate Outlook contacts.
And how do I do that?
I'm going to post a URL in our URL list.
Right. Go to our website, soundbites.org.
Uh-huh.
And if you click on the links tab, you'll see the third bullet down is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show.
Okay.
And we'll put it there.
If you click on that, you'll see 2 columns. One is by date, and the other is by alphabetically. And you want the by date. That'll be today's show.
Uh-huh.
And Steve's putting that up even as we speak.
So okay. You should have it shortly.
And it's not that we have anything specific against Outlook. It's just that Outlook is so embedded deeply into Windows that you can get an email message that installs a virus and executes code on your computer without you knowing it and without you approving that a program gets installed. And that's why we recommend that you don't use Outlook or Outlook Express.
Right. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. It's 38 after the hour. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Whams, what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham. Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Steve, you do a mean Cabbage Patch. I'm Rob Linton. Do you know what the Cabbage Patch is?
Not the doll.
It was a fad dowel in the 80s, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it's a dance.
See, I'm not hip anymore.
No, it's not really
show him the Cabbage
dance.
Patch.
I'm not going to show him the Cabbage Patch now.
I'm over
show
40,
him the Cabbage Patch.
Back in, we're here. We're back. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Disco is dead and deservedly so.
Amen.
That's Sister Sledge, right?
Yep.
All righty, then. We're back on Soundbites. Very quickly, before we get back to the phones, those of you with Xbox 360s may or may not be delighted to know that Lucent Technologies has sued Microsoft, alleging that their video console, the Xbox 360, contains technology that infringes a Lucent patent, which is kind of amusing since Microsoft has been suing everybody they can reach. For patent infringement. The name of the patent is Adaptive Coding and Decoding of Frames and Fields of Video.
It's not that unusual for Microsoft to steal someone else's technology. They just haven't bought Lucent yet.
Now, yeah.
Matter
that
time.
Was Steve
Matter
Ray, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Ray. The suit did not seek damages from Microsoft. It's just really, it's very weird. I don't quite know what they're expecting, but there it is anyway. They're accusing Gateway and Dell of infringing on patents through Microsoft. So we'll see. You know, this is kind of cutthroat thing. In August 2005, part of the complaint was thrown out because there was a typo in the patent. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office issued a certificate of correction, so now they can sue them. It's just...
Can I ask you a question? Why is it that every good idea that comes up, somebody thinks it was theirs to begin with, and sues it? I mean, didn't the same thing happen with BlackBerry?
RIM got sued by someone for that. They, in fact, as it turns out, they were stealing their technology, and they paid millions of dollars.
Well, it doesn't matter who thought of it first. It matters
who patented it first. Right, yeah. But it seems so funny that everybody, you know, this great idea like the, what'd you say, the Xbox 360 came on, somebody's going to say, oh,
I had this great idea for an automatic potato peeler years ago and never got around to patenting it.
And the next thing you know, I saw it on the shelf.
I saw Ron Popeil on the TV the other day. It looked like a lathe. Because I was in woodshop at the time. You put your potato on the lathe and you just peel it down. There you go.
Right, and you didn't.
I should have patented it.
You should have patented it.
Yeah, I should sue him.
Well, it's the same thing with people like J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter book. She's been sued, what, 6,000 times for, you know, everybody on Earth saying, well, I had Perry Hotter and whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you stole my ideas and blah, blah, blah.
Unbelievable. People are just jealous because they didn't think of it. I mean, you look at some of this stuff that's so successful.
It's the quick money scam right.
Yeah,
days.
We've turned into a society. What's the biggest one on TV right now? Hurting a car?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, we've turned into a suing society.
I'll tell you what, though. The one I wish I had written, the only book I really wish I had written, there was a little book a few years ago, Email Addresses of the Rich and Famous. Not that I would have expected to make any money at it. I just wish I'd thought of that title first.
Well, it also makes you want to think that, you know, you should have maybe 10 years ago bought some of these domain names like apple.com or, you know, things like that. And then you could have sold them for, you know, millions of dollars.
I told you, I went to get nick.com.
Yeah.
And missed it by that much.
Really?
Nickelodeon bought it first. Yeah.
Sue them.
Sue them. That's right. It's my name and they stole it.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Bob from Webster, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
My question is, my daughter's got an MP3 player, and for some reason, her music CDs are not being recognized on the computer. The computer was new in August. I was only able to get one of the CDs recognized.
Does it recognize data CDs?
Yes.
Like a program installation.
Do you get an
desk?
Error message?
No, I don't get an error message or anything like that. I'll go to, I go to where the drive is, and it's not even showing the CD in the drive.
Do you have any older music CDs? And have you tried them?
No, I haven't tried the older ones.
There is an issue with...
fairly new, like maybe about 2 years old or so.
That's not new.
Yeah.
The computer, did you say, is 2 years old, or the CDs are 2 years old?
The CDs are from 2 years old to like one that she just got last week.
Yeah. See, if it was... A lot of the new CDs have...
new meaning in the last couple of months.
Last 6 months, have programs in them that will now prevent you from playing them or even reading them on a computer. And it's possible that she tried to load one of those, and there is now a program in the background that's blocking CD access to any CD.
Okay.
Any music CD.
Can you, if you had, say, a program on CD, and you put that in and try to install it, will it allow you to do that?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm saying, because these programs block music CDs. If any of the CDs she's tried to install was a Sony music CD?
I'm not too sure. All of her CDs are made by Disney or
yeah, it's certainly possible.
Soundtracks.
Right, but at any rate, the point is that Sony for about 6 months was putting out CDs, actually for about a year, actually, now that I think of it, was putting out CDs that would do this. They would install software on your system that blocked you from reading music CDs.
Okay.
There is a program out on the net, and I think we've already got a link to it somewhere, that removes that, and it's actually from Sony because
the Sony
they got
rootkit removal.
They got their patoots sued like mad.
if you go to our link site.
Right. So if you go to our website at soundbites.org, click, as I said to a previous caller, click on the links button. Third link down is a list of the links from sites we heard about in the show. And go to that and look through that list for Sony.
Sony rootkit remover.
Sony rootkit remover in the alphabetical list on the right. And download that piece of software and run it and see if that fixes the problem. I would start there because it's very likely that's what happened.
Didn't they also install something with spyware? Those Sony discs were putting spyware on your machine?
Same program.
Yeah. Same program.
Yeah, yeah, same program. It blocked you from reading music CDs and reported to Sony every time you tried.
Right. But and you look at the back of the CDs, and there's something actually on the liners that tell you that it's there, right? I forget what the little symbol
is.
Something
in such really tiny print, but no one reads that anyway.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yep.
Right. But try that, Bob, and let us know what happens. Our next caller is Bob again, also from Webster. How do you like that? We got Bob everywhere from Webster. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I got a question about a monitor that lady was talking about before. When I turn my computer on, my monitor light goes green, and then it goes to orange, and I get nothing on the screen.
You might have a bad video card.
Yeah, the green means the monitor is powering up, and the orange means it's not seeing a signal from the computer.
Yep.
Okay.
So check the seating of your video card.
Okay.
Yeah, and the drive. Just the seating now. Try a different monitor and check the drivers. But that's the problem, is it the monitor or the computer?
Right, you never know. But anyway, try those things. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco at 50 minutes after the hour on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes past the hour, 54 minutes
we
now
need
past
to have
the
a
hour.
Little chat.
What?
We need to have a little chat with us and the 250,000 people that are listening right now.
Okay, let's have that little chat.
All right, first of all, Steve found more pictures of me.
You put them up there.
Steve, why don't you describe what that picture is that you found to our radio audience?
No, no, not that picture. The other picture.
I was so hoping people were done with the movie posters.
Oh,
and,
no. Now, just by mentioning it, you realize there'll be 50 more up by the end of the day.
Well, apparently I'm going to have to go to my other employer and take my pictures down off the website.
Too
because
late.
People-
oh, way too late. Way too late.
You opened the door on that one, and they long gone.
Even if you take them down, there's the Wayback Machine, and there's caches on Google. You're out there, buddy boy.
Excellent.
Exposed.
Enjoy the celebrity.
Why can't they put your pictures up there, too?
Our pictures are up there all the time.
Hello? I haven't seen any new ones of you.
Yeah, well, you haven't been looking.
There was a great one of the new Doctor Who.
Yes.
Although, I want to know how Rob got to be the Doctor.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. There's a new Doctor Who screensaver in the latest version of Linux. It's very cool.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, there's still a lot of the audio clips up there,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't heard any new ones, though. Some of them
Well, a lot of that is my fault. I haven't been gleaning them. I've been just a tiny, tiny bit busy.
Oh.
But one of the things, well, we'll discuss future events shortly, but not today, but shortly. But we're hoping to make that easier for everyone.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we'll be doing that. We have time for, I believe, at least one more call. Jack from Hilton. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
I got to go quick here because we're running out of time. I have an easy one for you. Zone alarm or the Windows firewall?
Zone alarm.
Zone alarm.
Just turn off the other Windows one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now this is a new laptop, and I've been downloading a lot of stuff like Firefox and so forth. It takes me about a day.
Are you on dial-up?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be.
I know. But I don't have it yet. What if I went to my friendly library and wanted to download Adaware or Spybot? Were they looking for trouble?
You'd have to talk to the library people because downloading it doesn't do you any good unless you can burn it to CD, right, to take with you.
Or flash drive or something like that.
Yeah, I got a flash drive. It's, you know, I got the capability. It's a new machine. It's got all that on it.
Certainly, it certainly can't hurt to talk to them about that. If not, now from Dave or Steve, you can go and for $5 get yourself a CD with all that stuff on it.
Bring your CD of all that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, matter of fact, I'm going to do a whole list of what I'll offer. But mainly what I put on there is the free versions of AVG, Zone Alarm, Spybot, Adaware, and Acrobat 7.0.
That's good. You're going to have them over at the shop?
Yeah, I'm going to start offering it. I'll start putting those together. And if you email me at dnwright@nwrightpc.com.
Okay.
Anybody out there that wants a copy of the Security Tango stuff that we mentioned, I'll put all that stuff on a CD, and you just let me know ahead of time when you'd like to pick it up so I can make sure I have the current stuff available, and you'll get that and the checklist on how to do it for $5.
Excellent. I'll
but all
that.
You got to do is email me, let me know what day you'd like to stop by so I have the most current stuff burned to CD for you. And you can pick it up $5.
I'll do that.
All righty.
There you go. And in fact, for those of you who are looking for that sort of thing, and you know what? You got a whole CD, so you might as well fill it up with some stuff. You might even think about putting Firefox or Thunderbird and OpenOffice.
I'm just off the top of the head mentioning a few things.
Right. There's also a CD called The Open CD at theopencd.org. It's a collection of very high-quality free and open-source software that runs under Windows, word processing, presentations, email, web browsing, web design, image manipulation, lots of stuff. And before we go, we have to mention one more time
that on April 26th, from 6:30 to 9:30, the Soundbites crew is going to be at the Frontier Learning Center. So if you want to get in on it, because reservations are limited, call 234-0326 to come and hear us four talk about safe surfing on the internet. Again, 234-0326 to get in on the April 26th seminar that the Soundbites crew is going to be putting on at Frontier.
Right, it's a free seminar, but you do have to sign up because we're limiting the number of seats. We'll do it again if enough people are begging us. We'll do it as often as you want. What the heck? We don't care, but but you need to sign up. Nobody's just going to be let in unless they're on the list. Looks like we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everybody who didn't call in. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. Back next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.